As long as I've been coming to this church, it's been special at around 10:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning to make my way over to this part of the building over here. And within about 60 seconds, if you go over to our Sunday school wing, you'll see children teeming out of these classrooms of all ages. And before a little while, you'll be surrounded by little children. Well over 100 little children meet in that hallway every Sunday morning at 9:30. And you'll see them coming out at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. And they're a gift. They're a treasure to our church. Children are a joy. Children are a delight. And children are a stewardship. And we should be thankful that God has so blessed our church with so many young faces. It's special for me to consider on a Sunday morning. I'm not good at estimating numbers, but anywhere from a third to one half of the audience in this room is children under the age of 18. And that's a gift from God, and that is a stewardship. And because of that, recognizing the large amount of children we have in this church, I have purposed to preach a sermon entirely directed exclusively to children. Now, this is not something we do often, and so maybe for the sake of the adults and also for the children, I should give some reasons why I wanted to do this tonight. When I was thinking of reasons to preach a sermon entirely to children, I thought of about a dozen, and I've simplified it down to four. Four reasons to preach a sermon entirely directed to children. The first is this: Jesus is interested in children. Jesus is interested in children. We read a passage to that effect a moment ago. And there's another account in Jesus' life. It's recorded in three different places in the Gospels. I'm going to read just one of them in Mark 10. You just listen while I read. In Mark 10, verse 13, the scriptures read, "Then they brought the little children to Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them." Jesus loves children. Jesus is interested in children. Jesus liked to take little children up in his arms and kiss them and bless them and bring truth to them, to preach the gospel to them. And Jesus says that the kingdom is made up of those who have embraced Jesus Christ as a little child, put childlike faith in Jesus. So the first reason that Jesus was interested in children: you children need to know that Jesus cares about your soul, and Jesus wants you to be saved, and he wants to take you up in his arms and to bring you close and to save you. The second reason is somewhat obvious. Children can and must be saved. Children can and must be saved. Children do not have to wait until they're adults to be saved. Children don't have to achieve a certain level of maturity before being saved. Children can be saved, and they must be saved. It's urgent that everyone who hears the gospel be saved, for children and for adults. Children can and must be saved. Third reason is a sad reason, but it's true, and children should know this. But the third reason I want to preach a message to children is because children die. The fact of the matter is, it's not often, but sometimes children do die. I was reflecting, I've been a member of four other churches in my life, just from moving around and being in different places. And in each of those churches, we had a child die. Not we personally, but the church. There was a child that died in the church. It happens. Children get diseases. Children can get hit by a car, be involved in some sort of accident. Children do die, and they need to be prepared. And the fourth reason is a personal reason. And that is that I was saved as a child. I was saved when I was 10 years old. Now, there are some 10-year-olds who don't like being called children. They're a preteen, right? So are 3-year-olds, okay? I was saved as a child. And you know Pastor Fisher, he's one of our elders here. Well, Pastor Fisher was one of my pastors in the church I grew up at in Florida, and so was a man named Pastor Hughes. Maybe some of you know him. And occasionally, from time to time, they would preach sermons like this entirely to children. And you know what? The Lord used that in my life as a little child to really learn what the gospel is and to learn who Jesus is and to learn what the Bible says. And so I want to do that with you tonight. One disclaimer before we get into the message. What do I consider to be a child? What is a child? Okay. Well, I would say it's the youngest person in this room, whether that's 2 years old or 3 years old, all the way up to 18. And I know some of you teenagers may not like to be considered children, but you're not adults. And I'm not a fan of the term adolescent, so we're going to count you as children tonight. And I hope that doesn't put you off. But that's the audience I'm aiming for. You adults are welcome to listen. And children, I'll just say, if your parents are having trouble sitting still or being distracting, just give them a crayon and a piece of paper so you can focus on the sermon and pay attention to God's word tonight. Okay, so those are the reasons. That's my disclaimer. Here's what I want to do tonight, kids. I want to ask four questions. We're not really going to open to a passage and try to explain what the passage means. I'm just going to ask four questions. And I would encourage you parents, rehearse these questions with your kids, maybe tonight or tomorrow or throughout the week. And hopefully they should be able to understand the answers to these questions. Okay, we're going to look at four questions. Okay, the first is this. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Maybe if we lined up some of the older kids, maybe four or five here, one after another, maybe you could tell us what a Christian is. Maybe a lot of you know that from Sunday school and from sermons and from parents. What is a Christian? Well, there's a lot of things we could say. There are a lot of ways we could answer that question. I want to do so using some really good verbs. Okay, you know what a verb is, kids? You have nouns and verbs. If I said, Alex hit a home run, okay, I can dream. What's the verb? The verb is hit, right? Alex is the noun. I'm doing the action, but hit is the action, okay? If we were to describe a dog using verbs, what would we say? We could say a dog barks. We could say a dog runs around and plays. We could say a dog eats. A dog likes to lay out in the sun. If we were going to describe a cat, we would say cats meow. Cats just sit there and do nothing because cats are lame and dogs are so much better, okay? Well, what is a Christian? What could we say about a Christian? Okay, there's three things. I think you can remember these, okay? Three verbs I want you to remember. What is a Christian? Okay, first of all, a Christian believes, a Christian repents, and a Christian follows. Believes, repents, follows. Believes, repents, follows. Can you say that with me? A Christian believes, repents, and follows. Okay, let me get into what each of those verbs mean, okay, and describing what a Christian is. First of all, what do I mean when I say a Christian believes? Well, a Christian believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is a Savior for sinners. That's what I mean by believes. A Christian believes that Jesus Christ, you know Him, you read about Him, you hear about Him in Sunday school. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He's a Savior for sinners. Everyone who is a Christian believes basically that. There's more we could say, but at least that is true. They believe that Jesus Christ came into the world as a man, and He was fully God, and He was fully man, and He lived a sinless life, and He went to the cross, and He died, and He rose again. Okay? Every Christian believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but not just that. They believe that Jesus Christ is a Savior for sinners. Okay? A Christian recognizes, I'm a sinner, and Jesus is a Savior, someone who can save me, who can save sinners. That's the basics of what a Christian believes. Okay? In answering what is a Christian, I said a Christian what? Believes, repents, and follows, right? So that's the first one. A Christian believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and a Savior for sinners. But a Christian also repents. Now, what does that mean? Well, to repent means to confess your sins, to be forgiven of your sins, and to turn away from your sins, okay? It's like this. It's like you're facing this one thing, and then you repent, and you turn away. You turn in a completely different direction. So when we're talking about repenting from sin, that means you want sin, and you're okay with sin, and you're not really worried about your sin, and then you're saved. You become a Christian, and you turn away from your sin after God. Okay, that's what it means to repent. What does it look like? It means recognizing that you're a sinner and going to God and saying, I'm sorry for my sins. Would you forgive me of my sins? I believe your promises that you will forgive my sins. That's what it means to repent. So what is a Christian? A Christian believes. a Christian repents, and then the third one, a Christian follows. Okay? What do I mean by that? A Christian follows. Well, a Christian follows Jesus Christ. A Christian says, I want to follow Christ. I want to obey Christ. I see what Jesus says in His Word, and I want to embrace that and follow that and obey that. I want to look more like Jesus. I want to please Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. See, salvation for a Christian doesn't just happen and then it's all over and there's no implications, right? That's kind of a big word, I know. But once you're saved, there's this whole life of following Jesus and obeying Jesus and loving Jesus and becoming more and more like Jesus. A Christian believes, a Christian repents, and a Christian follows. Okay, now this is a very important point I have to add. You have to know this, kids. You have to know this. Of everything I've said so far, this is maybe the most important thing I'm telling you tonight. What is a Christian? We said a Christian believes, repents, follows. But what you have to know is that a Christian is not perfect. A Christian is not sinless. Okay? Christians are not perfect people. And if any Christian has ever said that to you, they're lying. They've actually just committed a sin and therefore proven they're not perfect, that they're not sinless. Okay? And this is why it's so important that you know that Christians are not perfect and that Christians are not sinless. First of all, that you know if God does save you, it doesn't mean you'll be completely free from sin. You'll still struggle with some of the old sins, okay? You will want to obey and you will grow in obedience, but you'll still struggle probably with some sins. But also, a lot of you need to know that Christians aren't perfect because sometimes I see children grow up, and as they're growing up, they see a Christian sin. And they just conclude, well, Christians must be hypocrites. Christians must be liars. Christians must not really know what's up. Christians must be wrong about all this Christianity stuff because they sin just like everybody else. You see, a lot of kids grow up and see that. They see parents that sin, and they see maybe a friend or a professing Christian friend who sins, or maybe they see someone in the church who sins. And they conclude, you know what, all this stuff about the gospel and all this stuff about Jesus, it must not be true. Well, Christians still sin. Christians are not perfect. But by God's help, they're growing and they're learning to obey and they're learning how to follow Jesus Christ. But they're not perfect, and you must know that. Okay? So what is a Christian? A Christian, we said, believes, repents, and follows. Believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He's a Savior for sinners. A Christian repents, confesses sin, and turns away from it. And a Christian follows. Follows Jesus Christ and seeks to obey Him and to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to Him. So that was the first question. What is a Christian? The second question, okay? Why should you become a Christian? Why should you become a Christian? I see some of you are writing this down, so I'll repeat the questions. The first was, what is a Christian? The second is, why should you, kids, why should you become a Christian? And the answer, again, you might be able to give me. It's not very complicated. The answer is this. You need to become a Christian because you're a sinner and you need to be saved from your sins. You need to become a Christian because you're a sinner and because you need to be saved from your sins. Now, some adults, some parents, don't think kids should know that they're sinners. They shouldn't be told that they're sinners. Children should have high, what we call self-esteem. They should think really well of themselves, that they're so great and they're so wonderful and they can accomplish all their dreams. And to tell a child that he or she is a sinner will just hurt their feelings and make them feel bad about themselves. Well, I am not a parent. Jenna and I hope one day to have children. But it's not too long ago I can remember being a child. And I'm thankful that I had pastors and Sunday school teachers and parents who from a very early age taught me that I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus, that something was wrong and Jesus could make it right. I remember thinking that as a child. It's not a bad thing to tell children that they're sinners. In fact, if you were paying attention in the passage that Pastor Fortner read, Jesus had some very hard things to say to those who would mislead children. It's better that a millstone be wrapped around their neck, that they be thrown into the sea, than to mislead a child. Children, you need to know that you're sinners, because you need to know that you need to be saved. And you can't be saved until you know that you're a sinner. You need to know that you're a sinner, and you need to be saved from your sins. Jesus said that we ought to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Well, have you done that? Have you loved God perfectly? Have you loved God with all your heart and with all your soul and strength and mind perfectly? Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? Have you ever messed up those commandments? I know I have. And if you have, you're a sinner. Another way we could put it is that you need to be saved. You need to become a Christian because you're a lawbreaker. And all lawbreakers are under the wrath of God. Now, what do I mean by that? A lawbreaker. What's a lawbreaker? What do I mean when I say that? Well, you may say the police have never come to my house. I've never had to go to jail. I've never broken the law. Well, I'm talking about God's law. And maybe in Sunday school class, you've heard about God's law. You've heard maybe about the Ten Commandments. What are some of the Ten Commandments? You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't covet. You shouldn't murder. You need to honor your father and mother. Are you obeying those commandments perfectly? Well, no one obeys those commandments perfectly because we're all sinners. We're all lawbreakers. Have you ever told a lie? You ever lied to mom or dad? You ever lied to a friend, a brother, sister? I know I've told lies. I know I'm a sinner and a lawbreaker. Have you ever, you know, that commandment we heard about today, you shall not murder? Sure, maybe some of you kids haven't murdered somebody, but have you ever been angry in your heart against somebody? Jesus says that if you're angry, if you say, I hate you, or you're a fool, or you're a dummy, that's sinning. That's a violation of God's law. That's breaking God's law. Have you ever done that to your brother or sister? Have you ever been angry because of something your mom and dad have told you to do? Have you ever been angry with a friend at school? That's breaking God's law. How about the fifth commandment that says you're supposed to honor your father and mother? You ever disobeyed mom or dad? You ever broken that commandment? How can you say you're honoring your father and your mother, respecting your father and mother, if you don't obey them perfectly? See, we're all lawbreakers. And all lawbreakers are under God's wrath. What do I mean when I say that? God's wrath. Well, God's wrath is God's... Remember, God's holy, right? God's just, God's righteous. God's wrath is God's just commitment to punish lawbreakers, to punish sinners. He's perfectly righteous in doing so. He requires that you obey His law, and He requires you to be sinless and to be perfect. And if you're not, the Bible says you're under His wrath. You're under judgment. Remember, my question was, why should you become a Christian? Because you're a sinner and you need to be saved. And it's by becoming a Christian that you can be saved. It's by repenting and believing and following that you can be saved and you can be delivered from God's wrath. All right, now on to the third question. I'll review here. What is a Christian? We said a Christian what? Believes, repents, and follows. Okay? And then we asked, why should you become a Christian? Because you're a sinner and because you need to be saved from your sins. Now the third question. And this is an important one. How do you become a Christian? How do you become a Christian? Well, there's a few things we could say how you don't become a Christian. Okay, you don't become a Christian by being zapped with some special power. Okay, sometimes I think kids are waiting for that to happen. They're waiting sort of like a magic wand to strike them. And now all of a sudden they're Christians. They want to have this really special, mystical, amazing experience. Well, it doesn't always happen that way. In fact, a lot of times it doesn't. Okay. But how do you become a Christian? It's not by being good enough. If I just obey mom and dad enough, maybe I'll be a Christian. Doesn't work that way. Maybe if I just listen enough in Sunday school and in sermons, I'll become... It doesn't work that way. How do you become a Christian? Well, we've already said it several times. Remember when I described what a Christian is? A Christian is someone who believes, who repents, and who follows. That's how you become a Christian. You believe, you repent, and you follow. You believe that Jesus Christ is all who He said He is, all that the Bible says He is. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He's a Savior for sinners. And you recognize that you're a sinner, so you what? You repent. You turn away from your sin. You tell Jesus, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I don't like my sin. I don't want my sin. I want to be right with God. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I want to be forgiven. And then you follow Jesus. You follow Him. You commit. I'm going to follow Jesus. That's how someone becomes a Christian. Believes, repents, and follows. Doesn't have to be some sort of magical voice from heaven that comes down and speaks to you. There doesn't have to be some vision that comes to you in the middle of the night. If you believe the Bible, if you believe that Jesus Christ is a Savior for sinners, and if you come to Him in repentance and in faith and commit to follow Him, He will save you. He'll have you. He'll welcome you. Remember, He wants children to come to Him. And if you as a child, whether you're 6 years old or 12 years old or 16 years old, if you come to Jesus, you'll be saved. Anyone who asks to be saved, who asks to become a Christian, who sincerely wants to get rid of their sin, who sincerely repents and has faith in Jesus Christ, if you come to Jesus like that, He'll save you. He promises to save you if you come to Him. Now, maybe as I've described what a Christian is and how you become a Christian, maybe there are a few in here who can really say, you know what, I do believe. I do believe. I am sorry for my sin. I've asked Jesus to forgive me my sins. And I do want to follow Jesus. I'm not perfect at it. I still sin. But I do believe. I do have faith. I do repent. I do follow. Well, don't be afraid of that. You may very well be a Christian. Talk to your parents about that. Talk to a pastor about that. Please come and talk to me about that. I'd love to hear that and talk with you through that. But maybe as I've described what a Christian is, and how you become a Christian, you say, you know what, that really isn't me. I don't really believe. I don't know what all these people are talking about faith and about believing. I haven't repented. I'm not sorry for my sins. I don't think I've been forgiven. In fact, I don't even know that I need to be. And you say, I don't even think about following Jesus. I don't even know if I believe in Him. If that's the case, then you're not saved. And you need to be saved. But like I said earlier, you have to know this. Okay, someone who believes, repents, and follows, they're not perfect. Okay, now kids, I want you to see this. I'm going to ask the adults, the members of this church, to go and raise their hands and answer this question. I want you to see what they say, okay? Would any of the adults here, the adult Christians here, say, I have believed perfectly, I have perfect faith, and I never doubt and I never struggle. If you could say that, go and raise your hand. Look around, kids. Nobody, right? Okay, how about this? What about repentance? Remember we said believe, repent, follow. If you could say this, I repent as often as I should. I repent as thoroughly as I should. I always confess every sin every time that I should. If you could say that, go and raise your hand. Look around, kids. Anybody raising their hand? Pastor Hendricks has been raising his hand, and he's the Mac Daddy preacher, right? He's not even repenting perfectly, right? How about following Jesus? Anyone here follow Jesus perfectly? Always obeyed, never failed? Nobody, kids. Christians are not perfect. But Christians do, in truth, believe and repent and follow. God helping them. They believe and they repent and they follow. So now to the fourth question. We've asked three. What is a Christian? A Christian believes, repents, follows. We asked, why should you become a Christian? Because you're a sinner in need of salvation from your sins. Thirdly, we asked, how do you become a Christian? Now the last question. When should you become a Christian? When should you become a Christian? Should you become a Christian when you're 13? Should you become a Christian when you're 18? Should you become a Christian maybe when you graduate college? When would be the best time to become a Christian? What does the Bible say? Today is the day of salvation. And listen to me. 4-year-olds can be saved. 6-year-olds can be saved. 10-year-olds can be saved. 12-year-olds can be saved. 18-year-olds can be saved. 88-year-olds can be saved. They can come as children. Kids, you need to be saved right now. You need to be saved because Jesus comes to you now and offers you the gospel. You need to be saved now because Jesus could return tomorrow or you could die on the way home tonight. You need to be saved now because you're a sinner right now in need of the grace of God. You can be saved tonight. There's no reason you can't. If you come to Jesus with childlike faith, if you can say, I believe Him. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He's a Savior for sinners and that I'm a sinner and I need to have Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. You could come tonight, kids. There's no reason why you can't. Now let me close with a story. When I was about, I want to say about five, my memory's a little fuzzy. Five or six, we'll say five. Okay, when I was five, I lived in South Florida near Miami, way down there. Okay, that's way, way far away from here. And when I was 5 years old, at the time, I have six siblings, but back then, I only had three. Okay, and I remember I went to bed, and at about 1 in the morning, at 1 a.m., when pretty much all the kids in the world should be in bed, okay? At about 1 in the morning, my brother Anthony, some of you know Anthony, he's my older brother, he lives in Atlanta now, he's a dad now, okay? My brother Anthony, who would have been, I guess, 6, if I was 5, he was 6. He came and woke me up and said, "Alex, the house is on fire. You need to wake up." And do you know why he said the house was on fire? Because the house was on fire. Okay. So now, wake up. The house is on fire. You know what I said? I said, "Be quiet. I'm sleeping." And I rolled over. Okay. And went back to bed. Now, what happened next is disputed even to this day. Okay. There's a lot of disagreement about what happened next. Anthony says, "I was persistent with my brother. And I ran in there and I shook him and I said, 'Alex, we got to get out of here. You got to come along with me. And even if I die on the way out, saving your life, I'm going to risk my neck and I'm going to get you out of here.'" Okay. I don't remember that. Okay. I remember it very differently. What I remember is me saying, "Leave me alone, be quiet. I'm sleeping." I rolled over and he did this. And left. Because you know what I do remember is my mom coming then and waking me up and saying, "No, Alex, the house is really on fire. Wake up. You got to get out of here." Okay. And then I got up and sure enough, as we're walking down the hall, what do I see but our house in flames all around me. All my things, the couch, the garage, everything's burning up. And so what did I do? I ran. I ran. I got out of there. Now, this day, like I said, we still have that debate. Just recently, I graduated with my master's degree, and there was a group text, and everybody's, you know, chiming in, "Oh, you know, congratulations, proud of you." Then Anthony chimes in and says, "Congrats, bro. Aren't you glad I saved you from that fire 20 years ago? Hashtag real life heroes. But it took my mom coming to me that second time saying, "Wake up, you got to get out of here." And I ran out of the front door. And I remember turning around and there was our house all in flames. And what did I do? I did what every 5-year-old would do. I started crying and screaming and I ran. And then my dad came out of nowhere and grabbed my arm and pulled me away to safety and picked me up and ran me down the road to safety. Now, why tell that story? What do I mean by that? Remember, I'm asking the question, when should you become a Christian? Imagine that I had just rolled over when Anthony said, well, I did. When Anthony said, "Wake up," I rolled over. And then mom came and said, "You've got to get out of here, Alex, the house fire." Imagine if I rolled over again. How silly and dumb would I be? I would have ended up in that burning house, which burned all the way to the ground. I had to get out of there right away. And you see, you are in a similar situation. If you're still in your sins, it's like you're in a burning house. Your sins are like flames of fire that will destroy you and cause you to perish and will take you to hell. You need to get out of there. You need to wake up. You need to wake up and realize this is for real. You need to get out of that house. You need to get away from your sins. You need to run into the arms of Jesus, like my dad who ripped me to safety and saved me and got me out of that fire. You need to do that. You need to come to Jesus and say, "Will you get me out of here? Will you save me from my sins that are like flames that are going to bring me down? And would you save me and make me safe in your arms?" Some of you older children have gotten really good at rolling over and going back to bed. Every week, Pastor Hendricks comes up here and he says, "Wake up!" And what do? You roll over to the other side of the pillow. And then Pastor Ian gets up in the evening and he says, "Wake up!" And you roll over to the other side of the pillow. And I come here tonight and I say, "Wake up! Don't roll over and go back to sleep. One day the roof's going to cave in. One day the roof's going to cave in. Wake up today. You can be saved today. You can be delivered from your sins. You could be delivered from a future of pain and suffering and hardship. You could be delivered from the fires of hell if you'll come to Jesus and be saved. Jesus loves children. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Everyone in this room can sing that. Jesus loves you and tells you today, if you come to Him and be saved, whether you're 4 years old or 40 years old, you will be saved. You don't have to wait till you're a grown-up. What we do here on Sundays is not only for grown-ups. It's for kids who come to Jesus with childlike faith. And if you come to Jesus as a little child, you'll be saved. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for all the promises in your word. We're thankful that you chose to reveal to us that you love children and that you love to take children in your arms and to bless them and to reveal the kingdom to them, to reveal the gospel to them. And here we have many children and we're thankful for them and we want to bring the gospel to them. And we pray that tonight you would receive them and take them up in your arms, that they would come to you, that they would not roll over and go back to bed, but that they would wake up and that they would be saved. Help our children, help our parents, help us as a church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.